you have to realize that it is really worthwhile for you to ask questions, because all the answers come directly from Paramahansa Yogananda. We have a great amount of material which you do not have yet, like the Second Coming of Christ, a translation of John, Mark, Matthew, Luke, Genesis, Revelation, and we have the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we go very deep into your question. The first one is, if my consciousness becomes very strong, can I use the 8 hours of nightly sleep to consciously dream and work out or satisfy earthly desires, avoiding reincarnation, and develop communion further? What the utilization of a one-third of life, we're saying there that one-third of our life is spent in hibernation, in sleep. We are not unconscious. There is no such thing as the unconscious as Freud has spoken of. There is the subconscious mind in which consciousness is not fully conscious, but is conscious of dream. When you are dreaming, you are dreaming. Therefore, in lessons 153 of Paramahansa Yogananda, he explained how you can do that. It's quite simple, actually. He said, learn to go into ecstasy at will. To answer your question, to be able to do what you are doing, you have to learn to go in ecstasy at will. By learning to sleep at will consciously with half open eye, you will feel a greater and greater joy or ecstasy of super consciousness, and intuitively unite yourself with your soul, become consciousness. Now, to take the word satisfy earthly desire, no. It's if you go into the astral world and you are still on a subconscious mind, if you go in the astral world and you are from here to here in super consciousness, then you will be able to work your desire and become free from them. But if you go with your subconsciousness, go into the astral world and try to fulfill your desire, you increase the karmic tendencies which you already have. Let's say you love to drink. So you go in the astral world and you keep drinking and drinking and drinking. Because you can do that in the astral world, you can do everything. I haven't drunk any coffee for the past 3 months, but in subconscious mind, at night, I've drank some awfully good cup of coffee. Very good cup, man. But I haven't touched any on this planet, but the subconscious mind is still there. So it is not possible to go into the astral world and try to get rid of your desire until you have attained super consciousness. And then, when you have super consciousness, the great yogis of the Himalayas, they materialize bodies out of themselves, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 bodies, and fulfill their desire, which is mostly about food. The last desire to go to the guru, to the yogis, is food. Everything else binds you. The soul, the master said, to realize what you are asking, means arising above human consciousness. The soul is drunk with delusion, the somnambulism of daily wakefulness. Our guru said that unless you spend 1 hour a day, you are a sleepwalker. You are walking in life completely manipulated by your subconscious mind. You're not conscious, like a humanoid. Therefore, he said, the soul is drunk with delusion, the somnambulism of daily wakefulness, and act and grieve like a mortal man. This ego, or mortal state of the soul, is partially forgotten during sleep and entirely forgotten during ecstasy. That is why you want to practice ecstasy, to remember that you are made in the image of God and get rid of the ego, the nest of all your imaginary troubles. And here's the technique. You say, as you are falling asleep every night, you can practice that. You say, keep your eye half open and centered at a point between the eyebrows. As I spoke to you, a kind of a horizon of super consciousness, neither closed, neither open. Say, keep your eye half open and consciously enjoy in a relaxed, nonchalant way the state of the border of joyous sleep as long as you can without falling asleep. And you will learn to go into ecstasy at will. Most of you have experienced the transition from the physical consciousness to the other. You feel you are falling, isn't it? You have all experienced that. That's when you are leaving your body and entering into the astral world. And believe me, until you have removed the fear which you have, you cannot do it. Because When you go into the other world, it's like a science fiction story, that world is completely real. And you know what can happen to you? You find yourself in space, floating, like if you are parachuting. But you have don't have any parachute. And you find, you go back to consciousness. Therefore, to go into the subconscious mind, and in and out, and in and out, and in and out, that's what you have to practice. Until you can enter consciously, with the protection of your guru, because you don't know what you're going to find over there. Oh, my dear. There you have the thought of, your thought begin to materialize things around. And accordance of the kind of destructive tendency you may have in the subconscious mind will force you to think a terrible thing, which will materialize in front of you. If you think of demons, you will see them. So, my dear, there is a war there. Until you have purified your consciousness to a great extent, God will not allow you to enter consciously as you are saying. It requires a very high state of consciousness, but you can start to practice. That's why you have to learn to visualize, for instance, the metaphysical meditation at night. Learn to visualize yourself out of the body, floating in the ocean, going any place around the world, mentally. Start to do that. Get rid of that body consciousness. Unless you practice visualization and all those preparatory exercises, you will not be successful in those things. So we say, do not use conscious will. Then you will be awake. But use passive will to prolong the enjoyment of the half awake. He said, do not do that in a nervous way. It is a completely relaxed way, yet with a great acuity of awareness. Therefore, that acuity of awareness is developed in your meditation. If you never sleep in meditation at any time, no matter how tired you are, then you already have that acuity of awareness that you need. After sleep state, he said, use the passive will to prolong the enjoyment of the half-awake, half-asleep state every night at bedtime. Try to remain in this state from 5 minutes to an hour. Then you will know about conscious communion of your soul with God. It alone, you can carry on your lesser desire in the astral and work them out, or destroy them by sending energy into the seeds of karma, preventing them to germinate. One day, Sridhar Yamata told me, he said, Turiyananda, one day you will not even be able to conceive even a dream that you have lived in such a low strata of consciousness. So, first, we have to eliminate most of our bad habits by proper behavior in our everyday life. And then purify your body to quite an extreme extent on fasting, purifying your blood, especially your bloodstream, which is extremely important. Because the cleaner your blood is, the less you breathe, the easier it is to you to withdraw your consciousness. Therefore, to stop sleeping, like your great many years of purification of the body. Dear brother, you need better questions from us. June's question, we are not adequate about this one. What would happen if Indian people decided to eat a hamburger but immediately repent afterward? Would they still reach nirvana if they were devout? Not a bad question, because out of the lowest caste of India, the Pariyas, have come some of the greatest saints. If you're a butcher, for instance, in India, and you sell meat, you are the lowest caste possible. And yet some of the butcher became great saints, and therefore it is not so much what you eat. How much do you love? How much do you love makes difference? Now, it is true that your diet has a great influence upon your mind. For instance, if you go in a cure of grape juice, grape juice, for instance, if you don't have hypoglycemia, is very conducive to devotion. I used to go 10 days on grape juice, but not fermented. It brings you the other way around. And as I told you before, Heinrich Himmler and Adolf Hitler were both vegetarian, didn't smoke and didn't drink. So that didn't do them very much good. So the idea is not so much concentrate upon your diet and forget God. It is good. Every woman should be a great nutritionist. Every mother should be responsible of the food one eats. But at the same time, don't be fanatic about food. There is only one kind of fanaticism you can have. thinking night and day about God. That's the only kind of fanaticism which is correct. A question. Bharatriyananda says, no, Yogananda says, to meditate with eye partly open, forming an horizon of superconsciousness, to look above the horizon. You see, you better have listened very closely when I speak, because I'm being misquoted. You see, I didn't say that. Now, to close the eyes, not to close the eye, what does it say to close the eyes, focus on the Christ eye, Christ spiritual eye. I didn't say look at the horizon above. I said when you go to the ocean, you see the merging of the sky and the ocean. There is a line right there. That's the line you want to see there, not above. You look at the, in the Hongso, in the lesson of the Hongso technique, in your lesson it is written, concentrate upon the horizon of superconsciousness. However, we call Buddha Ananda Moy, who has always all the answers. We ask him, and he said that if you have tendency to sleep, open your eye from time to time in meditation. If you are a person who meditates with completely closed eyes and then sleep on top of it, then you better meditate half open and half closed. Or if you have a tremendous tendency to sleep, keep meditate with eye open. You can do that. And if you drift in meditation, if you begin to drift, then you begin again to open your eyes. Now, if you are deeply locked up at the point between the eyebrows with eye closed, it's okay. But the moment you are not consciously locked up and the eye begin to go down, you're going to go to subconscious mind and you begin to fall asleep. And that, my dear, falling asleep in meditation is the cancer of the spiritual life. You destroy yourself. There is no way you can make it unless you make an effort. There are beeper, which the truck driver have. You put them right under your throat. Beep like that right into your ears. Use any mean possible, but get rid of sleep. You speak of repentance. What is the meaning of true repentance? I refer you to the Holy Science, and I hope you read, page 63. That consists of renouncing. Repentance means to retrace our steps toward God by renouncing some of our worldly consciousness. He said, through true repentance, man reaches Mahaloka, or the great world. No longer subject to the influence of ignorance, Maya, he attains a clean heart. Now you realize what repentance means. That when you begin to really analyze your life and realize how worldly we can be, and you begin to say, my Lord, help me, my God, I just can't help myself. Help me to spend more time with you. You are at that moment, God comes to your rescue. He entered, then you will enter the natural caste of the Brahmana, knower of Brahma, and this state is prevalent in Satya Yuga. The clean state of the heart is defiled. What is purity? The void of all external ideas. That means that the moment in meditation, when you attain the breathless state, when all thought process begin to be removed automatically, you are in the pure state of the heart. You have removed all external ideas. Now, how can you get rid of your ideas? By becoming humble. Humility, the greatest weapon to get rid of the attachment to your own ideas. It is extraordinarily difficult. You may have got rid of lots of ideas, but God always comes to say, hello, hello, let me show you, if you think you are free of attachment to your own ideas, let me show you how you can get mad from one second to the other when somebody press upon an idea which you are very attached to. It happened to me a few days ago. I just exploded. And I tell you, I never thought it would happen to me again. I felt sick for at least 3 days to have allowed myself to behave like that. But God came to knock at my door. Don't see people, otherwise you get mad at people. It is God knocking at your door. Yeah?
What happened?
Yeah, but the ball was set, I tell you, I really got it. And I tell you, when I get mad, I feel utterly miserable. For 3 days, I couldn't get or forgive myself to behave like that. It's unforgivable. And yet God show you, you know, that's a... He's not here that yet that power. And that consists, the clean state of the heart is defined as the void of all external ideas. The less you insist with your viewpoint to your wife or to your husband, the way it has to be your way, the freer you become. And that state is described in the Ashtavakra Samhita, page 193, which was the favorite book of Lai Mashaya. He say, where is the world? And where is the aspirant for liberation? Where is the meditative man? And where is the man of knowledge? Where is the soul in bondage? And where is the liberated soul for me who am non-dual by nature, who is not affected by duality? No matter what's happening around me, I do not get excited. The Master tells us to renounce our identification with duality by transferring our human nature into soul consciousness, which is beyond duality. The more attached we are to our thoughts, our feelings, our words and actions, the more we are prisoner of a cocoon of dualistic energy. Now that is highly scientific. The more you hold on to your idea, the more that energy is pouring in you and freezing you, completely freezing you into one idea. Then, in the degree you succeed, it becomes the abandoning the vain idea of his separate existence. He enters into the kingdom of God. You will read that on page 64 of the Holy Science called The Procedure, in which Rikta Svara explained to you very precisely that only in the degree you become more and more free with your attachment, you don't like that person because he smokes, you don't like that person drinking a beer, you don't like that person because he eating meat, you don't like, you realize you become so full of like and dislike about life that you are endlessly insisting in your viewpoint. Now, I agree, if you're eating in a restaurant and somebody's smoking a cigar, the person has a better sense that at least we have some kind of laws. But don't become bound by nothing. There lie the problems. If you want to become a yogi, like and dislike have to go, and my God, do we have so many suitcases full of them. Believe me. And that is the war between you and God, between me and God. As long as we have one come the removal of all external ideas, then come the abandonment of the vain idea of separation. There is nothing separating you from God, except your own mind. It is the mind which we have to fight, and which we have to control. Because right now, he carries us around everywhere he wants. Oh, look at that chocolate, man. Wonderful. Let's have some ice cream. Let's eat 4 or 5 scoop of ice cream. I know I just ate 4 of them. Now, a very deep question which was given last year, 2 years ago in a convocation about marriage. It's a very, very beautiful one. She said, when the romantic spark in marriage has dulled and its flame to feeble coals, and it seems that I, as the wife, can never do enough or be enough or pray enough for help, partly because I do not have enough the energy and enthusiasm or time for unselfish devotion anymore. And we both simply act our role of spiritual marriage because it is right to do so without any feeling with it. How can we really make this relationship more meaningful when I feel like spiritually drained, like a draft horse in harness with my fellow teammates? We are certainly not mounting Godward with wings as eagles. Now, that lady was very poetical, it's magnificent. My dear, the moment we enter into this world, we are entering into a collar of a straight jacket. Remember that. I'm going to, again from the Holy Science, I'm going to tell you what was supposed to be the qualification for you to have a perfect marriage, a marriage so utterly beautiful that every day you're in love, never get angry. There is total union with your husband and wife, and you are always thinking, feeling, acting together. How can you achieve it? You believe it is possible? Mm-hmm. Say it is, but there is a little bit cleaning up to do first before you get married. You say, hence, in page 51, the 8 ministers of the heart. He said, hence, it took me 30 years to find that quotation, mind you. I studied the Holy Science 30 years, I never saw it until 6 months ago. Hence, bondage disappear. The 8 bondages or snares. I had to look at the dictionary for the meaning of snares. And it's an interesting word, mean. Snare or a contrivance often consisting of a noose for entangling birds or mammals and human beings. This is what the news are: hatred, or malformed hostility, resentment, jealousy, anger, cynicism. Cynicism comes from the deep womb of hatred. Caustic remark, nagging, and act of violence. Those are the mild form of hatred which have to go. Second one, shame. Inner conflict created by obstruction of one's conscience, guilt, fear, and security, worry, caused by lack of faith in God and in yourself. Condemnation, now the worst of all. Master called that the cancer of the spiritual life. Gossip. Each time you criticize anybody, you are automatically in tune with that person and you are pulling out of the bad karma from him or from her. You are taking the very bad quality of that person. It's like going to a leper and say, ah, you're a leper, don't you? You are full of infection, don't you? You have no idea how you are being connected. We are all connected with our brain, with fibers of energy. We are one, this creation, and we share the good and bad according to how we tune in. Therefore, gossip, criticism, the detective eyes, always watching everybody what they are doing. Instead of transforming oneself, always finding fault in others. Those are six states of the mind, believe me. And therefore, condemnation, this has to be cleaned up if we get married. Then race prejudice, pride of family, and smugness, which means the highly self-satisfied. Who knows everything? I know I was married, I knew everything. Oh. So those who always know everything, you can tell them nothing. The first thing they say to you, no, you don't understand. Oh, we have got them here too, don't worry. You come with Master Wu, oh no, you don't. So, some people like that are a vexation of the spirits. And therefore, my dear, there are eight cleaning up to be done, because Shiv Tesfar continues, he says, the removal of the eight bondages leads to the magnanimity of the heart, that means nobility of the soul. Then, does become one fit to practice ajana, which is that great inner equilibrium, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Then pranayama, you turn off the electricity of your five senses. Then pratyahara, you withdraw within yourself. And to enjoy the household of your life. So the requirement for me to be a disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda and the Master, I cannot be a disciple until I've removed those eight menaces. Therefore, after 31 years, I'm not yet a disciple. When I'm in the plane, I'm still not totally facing God. I say, oh, well, that plane may crash. My mind saying that to me. Therefore, not only the disciple of yoga, but those who get married. Therefore, that grinding process which you do not like in married life is totally natural. You are helping one another to gradually remove all the kink, all the limitations that you have. Either you, if you refuse to do it in your marriage life, and you divorce and get married again, and divorce and get married again, you know where you will be next life? To a monastic order. You won't be able to get out. God is going to eat you. That's the truth. God is going to hit you with his love. And you will be that great Roman for 1 year, and then he corner you into the spiritual life, into the monastic order, and after that he can hardly get out again. Until God is satisfied with you. Don't worry, you have been already. I'm not saying you have been going. Many of you, probably most of you, have been in monastic order before. Therefore, these bondages which force you to reincarnate life after life have to be worked out into the monastic order, or to the marriage life. And if you are a celibate and do not get 100% involved with the church you are in, you develop a bigger and bigger and bigger ego because you insist in separativeness. Yoga is embracing the whole cosmos, the whole universe. That's not separating yourself in your own private life. The Master say here, human life, human love in marriage, or in any other relationship does not last, unless it expresses itself divinely. Without the magnetizing power of divine love, whose source is in God alone, married couples fail eventually to entertain. That means the husband should start quitting some of his baseball, football, hockey, boxing, and all the sport of the world. I have a friend of mine who spent 6 hours when the football game are there. It's one football game after the other. But married people are supposed to entertain each other and care for each other. So if a married couple fail eventually to entertain and respect each other, and then when that happens, marriage goes on the rock. Sex charms, intellectuality, beauty, culture, and personal magnetism are not sufficient to keep two persons together in happy marriage if divine love is not present. What does that mean? Don't you understand that love is not a human quality? Love is God Himself. When you love people, you have allowed momentarily God to flow through you. It is He who loves. When you think you love your mother, it is He who loves your mother. It is He who loves your father. It is He who loves your children. But you are being blessed by being the recipient of that love. And so it is God who loves the husband to the wife, and it is God who loves the wife to the husband. And if neither one are spiritual, the master used to say, if you do not find a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, do not get married, you will not be loved. That's what every mother, every father should teach their children. You say, oh, too late. Well, in life we get what we deserve. But remember, you have the power of prayer. And if the power of prayer cannot change your husband or your wife, it will surely change you. There is one problem in married life. You know what it is? I found among you, now I'm not the male chauvinist, I'm not being qualified, but you always want to be understood, isn't it? We can't. Don't you understand? We can't understand. There's no way. There's no way. No more than you can understand us. You have 12 billion neurons in your brain. 12 billion neurons, each different of the other, and every brain has different neurons. Therefore, to be able to communicate with one another, the psycho-neuro-biochemistry must be in tune. Therefore, how are you going to change each other's brain? By letting God do it for you. As you meditate together, God begins to attune all the chemistry of your brain, because our brain, our mind, everything, every thought, every feeling, every action is based upon a burst of energy and chemistry into our brain. Therefore, it is not possible to understand each other except through that divine love. Love embrace. Love understand all things. It becomes intuitive. You do not know a person until... let me give you an example. There was a fellow there with a long robe, a big cross there. I said to my mind, he said, well, what a, that's a good crisis in the old Swiss. What kind of phony is that fellow? I approached the man. The vibration of that man were so beautiful. I came there and I embraced the guy. The guy had such a marvelous vibration. Yet my critical mind had made a separation there. Thank God I came close enough to his aura where I could feel the loveliness of that man. So we have so many prejudices in our mind because we are frustrated. And you know where that frustration comes from? From the inner loneliness which your husband or your wife can never feel. God has made his creation foolproof. Without him, you will never know love. Therefore, the less love you have, the more lonely you feel. That's why the master say all loneliness stems from the desire for God, knowingly or unknowingly. So countless incarnation, the soul forgets its relationship with God. Yet deeply buried in the subconscious mind is the remembrance of the bliss that we knew when we were aware of our oneness with Him. I discovered in that line that even before we were brought out of cosmic consciousness, we were one with God, but we were already individual. I don't know if you can catch that one. I mean, when God created us, long before we are created, we were already individualized in His consciousness. And I found that by Saint Clement of Alexandria, who lived 150, 220 AD. He said, We were in being long before the foundation of the world. We existed in the eyes and the mind of God. For it is our destiny to live in Him. We are the reasonable creature of the divine world. Therefore, we have existed from the beginning. For in the beginning was the world. Therefore, though we may find love through human companionship, we'll never be satisfied or be free of our loneliness until we realize that it is He who is loving us through all human love. And it is He who is loving us through all human love, that is He whom we must first seek, above all else. The only reason for our existence is to find God. That is the ultimate answer, no matter how many experiences we have to go through. So that once the husband is deeply spiritual, he can be good. He can be a very good person. He'll be a good husband or a good wife. But unless there is within you that deep craving and longing for God, you will not be able to hold your husband or your wife, especially if one or the other is spiritual. God understands you when everyone else misunderstands you. That's a fact, isn't it? He is the lover who cherishes you always. No matter what your mistakes are. Others love you, give you the affection for a while, then they forsake you. But He abandons you never. In countless ways, God is daily seeking your love. He does not punish you if you refuse Him, but you punish yourself. You will find that all things betray thee who betrays me. So that's why I gave you a key there. When you stop focusing on my Lord, I have not forgotten. Just that is good enough. Before you put the ignition into your car, just that word may save your life. One word of God. You remember the story I told you about the Civil War, how the Union became separated, and the South and the Forest, one side was the South, one side was the North. And the South had to find a way to cross the North to be able to find the other group who were there. But they didn't know the password. So they asked for a volunteer who had very little chance of survival. He said, listen, when you try to get identified when the sentinel call you, but there is very little chance you will survive, and if you die, we'll send somebody else, so they will know where we are. So the man crossed the north, he arrived there to the sentinel. And before he said a word, he did the sign of the cross. Like that was the password of the day, because General Beauregard was a Catholic who had made that the password of the day. One last thought of God, and instead of death, he was given life. That's a true story. So just that in the morning, you go into your car every day and make the word, my Lord, I have not forgotten. Why suffering? To gain wisdom. You see, one day there was Sri Dayamata, our president, many, many years ago, and Dr. Lewis was the vice president. Dr. Lewis was moving mostly by wisdom, and Sri Dayamata by the heart, by love. And Ma used to say that you have to suffer to find God. And Dr. Lewis refused to accept that fact, so they went to Master. And they said, what do you think, Master? And he said, you are both right. He said, you don't have to suffer, but once you have wisdom, but how do you get wisdom? by hard knocks, you know. So he said, God tries us in all ways. He exposes our weaknesses, but we may become aware of them and transmute them into strength. Never worry about your weaknesses, but you keep fighting to conquer them. Never. God does not account to your weaknesses. He accounts about the lack of willingness to make an effort to get rid of them. It may seem ordeal that appear insupportable. It may sometimes seem almost to be pushing you away. But the clever devotees will say, no, Lord, I want thee. Nothing shall deter me in my search. My heartfelt prayer is this. Never put me to the test of obliviousness of thy presence. I had 6 years of manic depression as a monk during the 60s. And that was the most terrible period of my life, in which I didn't take Valium or Lithium. I didn't even know it existed at that time, and I went right through. And Sri Dayamata, at the worst crisis, would ask me to come. And he said to me, I remember Marcel, I don't care if you have to crawl on your knees to come to the third floor to ask for help. If you do not, I cannot help you. And above all, he said, I don't care what state you are in, don't ever tell me that you will quit. At that moment, I cannot help you anymore. So a strong determination to conquer your suffering will make you free from those suffering as much as you make the efforts every day of your life. That's why I say here, if you are overcome, if you are to overcome the test of the world, you must all be so completely absorbed in the thought of God, this is Dayamata talking, so strong in complete faith about God that nothing else matters. Then when there is no physical or emotional hurt, nor any other misfortune that can overwhelm us. Such are the tests. If some afflictions befall the body, it is for one reason, that we might remember and turn to Divine Mother and say to her, Mother, though my body ache with pain, though I am uncertain of what lie ahead, O Mother, I know that I am not this body but the immortal soul, that is just for a short time dwelling in it. That's the whole idea. The more you practice, Master has given you countless techniques of practice, like the Sunday beginning affirmation. If you don't practice them, you receive no help. What is the advantage of saying to God during the day, my Lord, I have not forgotten you? The Master says, make up your mind not to be like an ordinary devotee. Whether you are performing your duties or talking with people, in the background of your mind, at the background of your consciousness, a mental whisper to God should constantly go on. That mental whisper becomes a dynamic force when no matter what your tongue is saying, you are inwardly talking to God. He wants you to come through the secret door of your ceaseless devotion. No matter how troubled you are within yourself, you should continually call to him day and night. And with that thought, waken, live with that thought, waken with that thought, go to sleep with that thought, and he will not be able to stay away from you anymore. Dynamic thoughts, constant repetition of the name of God. What is the essence of a wild butterfly passing? Nice question, is it that he must be a Zen Buddhist? What is the essence of a wild butterfly passing? So the essence is that wild or subdued human life is like a butterfly's life, short and ephemeral. It is only a passing show. That's my answer to whoever wrote that. Therefore, do not take life too seriously. We are here today, we are gone tomorrow. One of our best teachers of the youth retreat said the day was with us, 49 years old, Mr. Goodrench in television, blonde fellow, top physical shape, that very the real Tarzan among my youth retreats. On Saturday, I praise him in front of everybody. Sunday afternoon, he went to the beach right there. He went to swim, lay down in his little blanket and died. Just like that. We don't know when the clock is there for us. Therefore, we have to make the maximum of spiritual effort to gain spiritual awareness, so that the more aware you are spiritually, the greater, the less your fear when you leave the body, and the greater the joy for you to reach a higher state. How can man have free will if God is the only doer? I told you last week that 75% of your free will is taken away by your karma. 75%, you have a bare 25%, and with it, be sure you choose God. As you develop your spiritual consciousness, the soul is free. You don't have to have free will, your soul is free, so there is no bondage there. But as long as you remain in this vehicle, which is the subconscious vehicle, you are bound. Therefore, the Master says, if you try to do what God wants you to do, you become free. It is easy to do what you want to do, but hard to do what you should do. And when you tune your will with the will of the Guru, you do his will. By doing your own will, you get yourself entangled. So give yourself to God. It is easy to do your will and describe it as divine will. When you do your own will, you have to go through incarnations until you become a popular actor on the stage of life. And here let me ask, what is the true meaning of life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. The Master say, your thirst for satisfaction must find the perfect satisfaction in God. Your thirst for knowledge must quench itself by drinking the wisdom of God. Your peace cannot be complete only with the peace of God. Your existence can be immortal only in the immortality of God as a soul. Your consciousness can be unceasing only when attached to the cosmic consciousness of God. Your joy can be unending, ever entertaining, only when united with the joy of God. When the mind is attuned with duality, he has endless dual purpose. When your mind is attuned with God, oneness of purpose. Simple. The Master said there are two kinds of people in the world, those who seek God and those who don't. And finally, what is the difference between the Lila and Maya? Lila is the name for cosmic play. And Maya, cosmic illusion, illusion from the Latin word illudere, which means play, cosmic play. So there is no difference between the word used, Lila or play. It is also known as cosmic delusion or collective illusion, cosmic dream, cosmic stage, cosmic magic, cosmic hypnosis, and cosmic amnesia. There are certain teachers who tell you you don't need a guru. My dear, that is really misleading people. The Master say here, a person under hypnotic influences can be made to act as if he were a different personality. So God evolved out of himself and hypnotized them by cosmic delusion or Maya into perceiving themselves as encased into an animal or a human body. We are right now in a state of hypnosis. The hypnotized person cannot get out of his unreal state without being de-hypnotized by a cosmic guru who is beyond all dualities. By wisdom, self-analysis, and by the grace of God, man can get himself de-hypnotized from cosmic delusion and therefore forsake his recurring dreams of incarnations. He can then return to the perception of the blissful and pure soul, united to the spirit, in a dreamless state of blessedness. Swami Vivekananda, with all his power, he could not go into Samadhi until Sri Ramakrishna slapped him in the chest. About our guru, he said, come on, Mukunda, come here. Oh, Master, each time I'm meditating, you are disturbing me. Oh, yes, I know why you're meditating, like leaves in the wind. Now, if Master like that, being born a difficulty to meditate, what about us? So he says, so you didn't find a guru in the Himalayas, you didn't, all right, come here. Slap him in the chest, and you have the unique description in the world of the ecstasy known as Samadhi. No one has been able to interpret that state. Sri Ramakrishna tried. Sri Ramakrishna was all the time in ecstasy, said, oh my beloved boy, today I will tell you what is Samadhi. Samadhi is, he was gone. Then he came back, they waited, he came back, yes, he said, I want to tell you, Samadhi is, and he was gone again. And he prayed 4 or 5 times, and finally he said, I can talk, the mother is holding my mouth like that. Even mother was there preventing him to tell. And the Master said, if you read that poem every day, a new consciousness will begin to take place in you. Read that poem every day of your life, and you will see what's happened. Many people ask questions about astrology. My dear, you are not made in the image of astrology, you are made in the image of God. The Master said, the story inscription of at one's birth, I came to understand, is not that man is a puppet of his past, but its message is rather a probe to pride. The very heaven seeks to arouse man's determination to be free from every limitation. God created each man as a soul, endowed with individuality, hence essential to the universal structure, whether in a temporary role of a pillar or a parasite. Yeah, look at the Corleone family. Hundreds of millions of people went to see the Godfather, isn't it? and that man was just a criminal, a gangster. So it's part of the universal structure within a temporary role of pillar of parasites. But his freedom is final and immediate, if he so will. It depends not on outer, but inner victories. Inside, how can you develop yourself inside? In the autobiography, page 250, the master talk about Kriya Yoga. He said, the life of an advanced Kriya Yogi is influenced not by the effect of his past actions, but solely by direction from the soul. The superior method of soul living free the yogis, emerging from his ego prison, he tastes the deep air of omnipresence. The telescopic method of a yogi, disengaging himself from physical and mental identification in favor of soul individuality, are therefore commended to those that eye, to the eye that will revolt at 1,000 years. This numerical periphery is enlarged for the ordinary man who live in harmony, not even with nature, let alone with his own soul, pursuing unnatural complexities and offering in his thought and body the sweet